Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
No introduction, ladies and gentlemen. Anywhere around the world, who doesn't know that song, the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem of the United States, and it's my pleasure to play that for you. No, CBS isn't signing off for the night. It was the beginning of another program, another segment of the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thank you for being with us. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Rich Galen is with us. Rich is the publisher and the editor and the accountant and the janitor over at Mullings.com. He calls himself the Charmed Quark, and he's a Republican political operative, folks, as I say, is of the Republican persuasion, and he's a great American and a true patriot and our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, buddy. You know, the national anthem, before we came on the air, I was talking about sitting in the press box at Washington Nationals game. Amongst other things, I am the credentialed reporter covering the Washington Nationals for some Northern Virginia weeklies of all.
All right.
But when the national anthem is played, the entire press box stops and stands at attention.
Good for
And them. Occasionally a visiting writer will continue to write, and somebody will sort of nudge him and tell him to stand up.
Yeah, yeah. Have you noticed in groups, though, in ballparks and places like that, Some people don't really stand at attention as much as they used to. They sort of slouch, or they don't put their hand over their heart, or they don't take their cap off. Have you noticed that there's more of that?
Not in Washington. We pay, you know, it's just a
Good.
Different deal here.
Good.
Very often in the new ballpark, there are sections for handicapped down along the base, the outfield foul lines, and very often they will introduce some young men and women from Walter Reed. So people take it pretty seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I just, folks, when you hear the, you know, maybe it's my military background, Rich, but when I hear the national anthem or when I say the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't just stand up, I come to attention.
Yeah, and with your fingers curled, right?
And exactly, and the heels together, and the toes just at about a 30-degree angle. Absolutely.
Exactly right.
But don't lock your knees so you don't pass out. I mean, no, I don't even think about it.
No, that's right. And you can, apropos that, I'll bet if you and I walked up and down the aisles of a place like Nationals Park, we would be 97% correct when we said that guy was in the military.
Oh yeah. I've had people say to me, I've had people say, you were in the military, weren't you? And I say, well, yeah. Why? And they say, well, I could just tell by the way you walk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, there's something else, and we may have talked about this, but you know, here again in Washington, at large dinners, if there's a military component, or sometimes even not the. If there's a military band, and a lot of times they play at these large dinners, they'll play a medley of the marching, you know, the fight songs of the various services,
mm-hmm.
Including the Coast Guard, by the way. And and I was in the National Guard for 6 years back in the 60s and 70s, and I didn't think that counted. And what the protocol is that when your service song is being played, you stand.
Right.
It wasn't until I came back from Iraq that I, now when they play when the caissons go rolling along, or when the army goes marching along, that I stand. And it's not because of my National Guard service. It's in honor of all those reservists and guardsmen and women that are serving there.
Well, absolutely. You know, one time I went to see my son in the Marines. He was being promoted, and they invited me over to pin his bars on him, his new stripes on him. And all day long, I kind of hung out with him in training over in Camp Lejeune. Uh-huh. And so one of the guys came over when he found out that I was my son's dad. And he said, "Oh, that's your dad." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought he was a general." I mean, it couldn't have happened any better. My son, and I think that really got him. You know, he would never have let me get away with that otherwise. Stand by. Quick break. 20 till. Right back. And remember, when we come back this time, I'm going to do the poem, Freedom Isn't Free, right after this next break. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen. His website is Mullings, MULLING.com. And by the way, folks, every year, this is my 11th Memorial Day, live Memorial Day show, and at least for the last 8 or 9 years, I have recited this poem. I don't know who wrote it. I wish I did. Please tell me if you know. But I've always said that, you know, I don't know who the author is, but it's a wonderful poem, and I want to recite it for you right now. It is absolutely, I can't imagine doing a Memorial Day program without this poem. The title is Freedom Isn't Free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so tall, so young, so proud. With haircut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought about how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes or soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of the fathers and sons and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I can't imagine a Memorial Day without that poem. I hope you enjoyed it. It makes me proud to be able to say that. Rich Galen is with us right now. Rich, don't Americans need to wake up every day? And if they just said that to themselves, what would happen if every American woke up every morning and while they were shaving, putting their makeup on or whatever they were doing, looked in the mirror and said, freedom isn't free? What do you think would happen?
Yeah, it would change everybody's mindset. And it's, you know, that's part of... When was I was watching something. Let me stop a second. I actually looked this up while you were reciting the poem. It was written by a high school student named Kelly Strong when he was a junior ROTC candidate at Homestead High in Homestead, Florida, in 1981, as a tribute to his dad, a career Marine.
How did
Marine
you find it? I've been looking for this for 10 years. Send me that.
I will.
Send me that. I'll give him credit for. I mean, I published this all these years, and I've always said, please send me.
I looked it up on. I looked it up on three different sites to make sure that the citation.
Okay. Was. All right.
Yeah, but anyway, so because other than, you know, the rare occasions, the dreadful occasions, Pearl Harbor and 9/11, we have been protected by the oceans and by land masses north and south. For most Americans, I mean, when you stop and think, Jim, going back to World War II, of the only thing separating the entire German army from Great Britain was, you know, the tiny English Channel. I mean, they were
20 miles.
Yeah, they were sitting there 20 miles away. Think about, you know, going to the Starbucks 20 miles away. That's where the whole German army was sitting. And but, you know, I guess maybe that's part of the success of our of our military is that regular everyday people don't have to think about it, because we've got, you know, a couple of hundred thousand young, mostly young men and women, who do it for them every day.
And you know, hasn't it been interesting to you to see these two different groups in this younger generation, those who stepped up and have served, and from all walks of life, not just from the underclass, but from all walks of life, and seeing those hundreds of thousands of young people step up and serve. Even not just right after 9/11. I mean, people are joining today, and yet there are millions, Rich, who are completely disengaged.
Well, that's always been the way of it, hasn't it? I mean, not everybody is a police officer to touch on your family.
But there was a time, and
everybody doesn't wake up every morning saying, "Boy, I'm glad I'm safe today." You just assume that. Police are going to do their jobs, and you're happy that they do it when you think of it.
But it seems to me that I said this in the previous hour, I still think that this country would be better off if every young person before they were 20 had to inconvenience themselves and serve others, either in the military or somewhere else, at least one year.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I think that would be absolutely...
That would change the country. And the world. Because whatever changes the United States changes the world.
Because people would get at least a year, a year and a half, 2 years, whatever the sequence was, to see what the world was like, when mom and dad can't buy you a car just because you turned 17.
Tell us about the men and women you met when you were in Iraq.
Oh, you know, I wrote it. I went back and kind of looked at every so often. I do go back and look at that. The Iraq files. There were 24 of them in the 6 months I was there. I used to write on Sundays because it was too hard to write during the week. The only reason Sundays, of course, was a work day in Iraq, but it wasn't a work day in the U.S. So we only had one work day. Normally, we had two work days: the Iraq work day, and then when Washington woke up, we had our second work day. But you know, these were young, mostly young men and women. Not all. I mean, the guys like Brigadier General Mark Kivett is a true hero. But you look at these young enlisted personnel, mostly, and some of them just showed leadership capabilities and character capabilities that a Fortune 100 corporation would pay hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for. And they're out there slogging it out for, you know, dollars a day. And
they're bearing, the bearing that they demonstrated is amazing. You've all met them, ladies and gentlemen. They're America's finest, by the way. Tintil, stay with us. We'll be right back. Happy Memorial Day. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Again, I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, as you're enjoying your holiday and barbecuing and meeting with family and friends, or basically just kicking back and relaxing, remember the poem. Rich, what's the young man's name again?
His name is Kelly Strong. He wrote it in 1981.
Remember Kelly's words in the poem, "Freedom Isn't Free." Say that to yourself. And when you say your blessing for the food, or when you say your prayers, or when you stop for a moment, or if you don't, stop for a moment and reflect, and then just say to each other, "Freedom isn't free." And then go eat your hamburger. That's fine. But just slow down for a little bit and reflect upon why you have a day off today and why you can celebrate it in peace and in safety. It's because somebody else paid the ultimate price, and we should remember them. Rich Gillen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Rich, give us your website, please.
Mullings, MULLINGS.com.
Is it still thrice weekly?
Thrice weekly, except for August.
It's a cyber column, folks, that you want to pay attention to. If you're of the Republican persuasion, you'll love it. If you're of the Democrat persuasion or a mugwump, you just want to see what Rich is up to. And so, which is always good stuff and always funny. So check it out. And it's free, right?
Oh yeah. Well,
unless they just want to send you money.
Yeah, it's right. It's like NPR. You can get it for free, or I can guilt you into sending.
They got better video than you, though, Rich. NPR.
I don't mean
NPR, but NPR. They got. I mean public television is what I meant to say.
Right.
They got their fundraise. They got better video. Okay, let's talk a little politics.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Obama and McCain?
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I mean, if absent some unforeseen catastrophe, an unforced error on the part of the Obama campaign,
yeah,
or Mrs. Obama, which is more likely, it will be Obama versus McCain. And then, of course, somewhere along the line, they'll start looking at VP candidates.
If Hillary drops out at some point before the convention, will they somehow get Florida and Michigan back in there?
Oh yeah, I think they'll do that one way or another. I don't think that either.
That'd be a catastrophe for them if they disenfranchise those two states, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they can't do that. And Obama's got a big enough lead now, and the lead grows every day as superdelegates keep coming over his way. To be able to say, okay, well, you know, let's come up with a thing where we'll apply the same proportions, which would give her probably 5 or 10 more delegates than he gets in each of those two states, which he can easily afford, and then it's off the table. Then all she can say is no, and then she looks like she's petulant.
Who's going to be the vice president for Obama?
That's a tough one.
What's the profile?
Well, I think right now you'd have to look. He's got to do something to mollify slightly less than half of the delegates to the convention. So it's likely it will be somebody who has been a staunch Hillary supporter, whose name doesn't end in Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like Bruce.
But meaning it will not be Clinton.
It will not be Clinton.
Okay.
My current choice is the governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, because he could probably bring Ohio, which is 20 electoral votes, and which the Democrats need.
He needs Ohio, big time.
Yeah, he needs Ohio.
But not Richardson.
No, I think Richardson's got some baggage that the locals know a lot about, and everybody would know about fairly quickly if it were him. New Mexico.
See, that's who I predicted would be the vice president.
Yeah, well, again, it's another one of those things where you can't afford to be looking over your shoulder at your vice president going off.
Are you surprised at the people who've jumped the Clinton ship?
Yeah, I guess I am. I am. I think that, but you know, that politics is a matter it's like a Star Wars movie. There's a disturbance in the force.
Right.
And if you're good at it, you feel the disturbance before everybody else does, and you get out there and get out of its way.
What about McCain? Who's going to be his running mate?
He's got an advantage because the culture is, or the tradition is, that the party of the president goes second. So he gets to see who Obama picks first, and then he has a couple of weeks to be able to make up his mind.
Right.
And what
right.
they're doing is they're spreading the net out now. So by the time you get down to early September, when the Republicans have their convention, my guess is they'll be down to 4 or 5, maybe 6.
Aren't we probably talking about a governor, though, on both sides?
Maybe. I'm not. It's not as important as I think it once was. It depends. Again, the first thing you've got to do is you got to have somebody who can actually do the job. The portfolio of a vice president has expanded dramatically with Al Gore and Dick Cheney.
Right.
That's number one. Number two is, as I said, it's got to be somebody you trust and will follow the administration lead, not go charge.
Rich, I got to wrap it up, but who's if you had to call it right now, who's going to be elected in November?
Oh, I think right now, this second, I'd bet on John McCain, but I wouldn't bet a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You might not bet on him, but you wouldn't bet against him, right? Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Rich Gaydon, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. I'm Jim Blassingame. Be safe.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.